And when I pull away, the soft look of happiness in those green depths shows me that I can trust the guy who chipped away a big piece of the armor that had been guarding my heart.
Now that all that's out of the way, want to tell me why you're eating here when we made plans last night?
He asks softly, voice low and forehead resting against mine a second longer before lifting away, keeping his face close. Because I was hungry?
Darlin, it's 4 PM. Are you telling me you're still going to be hungry for dinner after eating one of Big Tom's famous burgers?
Have you had a Big Tom burger? He nods, smiling a tiny smirk. Then I think you know why I'm eating one at 4 PM. When someone says they're going to have one of the best burgers in Texas, you don't pass that up. His eyes crinkle at the corners.
Are you still going to want dinner when I pick you up, or should we do something else?
At the mention of him picking me up, something real close to embarrassment starts to burn up my throat, which makes no dang sense. I certainly didn't set my store ablaze and in turn make myself homeless, but that's just what I am. Homeless. I shouldn't be ashamed of it, but even though I didn't intentionally keep it from him, I still feel badly about it. How about we just leave from here? I offer lamely. Save you the trouble of having to drive an hour away from here to Lawbone when we're both in Wire Creek. Of course, in my quest to save him some gas, I don't realize my mistake until it's too late.
Uh-oh,
Lucy whispers loudly with a giggle, clearly coming to the same conclusion.
Why would I be driving out to Lawbone tonight to pick you up if you aren't helping out at Hazel's when you live here, darlin'?
I hear Luke laugh, but I don't look away from Clayton. I was going to tell you, I rush out, proud that I don't feel my cheeks getting red. He lifts his head more and looks at me with one brow up, waiting for me to continue. You see, there was a tiny problem with my place. I bite my lip and wince. Okay, so maybe by tiny I mean real big, but that was before, well, you, and I really didn't think to mention it last weekend when we were at your house after the shower, and, to be honest, it kind of slipped my mind with the whole head-on collision horse crash thing and running into my mama and, well, you. I stopped talking, thankful that my mouth finally just decided to snap shut when my brain wouldn't stop the flow of verbal diarrhea.
She had a fire at her bookstore. She doesn't normally work at Hazel's. She only does that now because her place is gone. Tried to get her ass at Luce's in my place, but she's a stubborn one, R. Carrie.
Luke mumbles around a slice of pie I didn't even notice had arrived. Caroline, both Clayton and I tell him at the same time, breaking our staring contest in the process.
Jesus Christ, not you too,
Luke grunts in annoyance. I look back to Clayton just in time to see a mean-as-heck expression on his face, aimed at one of my best friends for something as simple as using a nickname that he now knows I don't like. I have no idea why that's so hot, but it makes my belly flutter in the most insane way. I really was going to tell you. It just didn't seem like the right time, I defend weakly. Clayton looks down at the table and shakes his head, but I know he isn't that mad because there's a slight tip to the side of his mouth. He mumbles something, but it's so low I can't hear him. What? He slants his head my way.
I said, you're lucky I find just about everything you do cute as fuck, Lenny, because right now I want to pull you over my knee and tan your goddamn hide for thinking there wasn't a right time just once during this whole week to fill me in. Talk to you every day and a few nights until you fell asleep. Tons of times in there you could have mentioned that you owned a bookstore which you just so happened to live above, that it burned down, and that you don't really work at a place that makes me uneasy just thinking about you being in.
Aww, Lucy gushes. Did you hear that, Luke?
I'm sorry, I offer lamely, ignoring Luke's grumbles about me being safe at his bar. Clayton nods and reaches out to pull me back into his side before placing another kiss to my temple. That move would make my knees weak if I was standing.
We can talk about it later, darling.
Lucy pretty much holds a one-woman conversation for the rest of our time at the diner. Luke leaves right after he finishes his pie when a pretty redhead walks in. He throws some cash on the table without saying a word and takes off toward the back of the diner in hot pursuit. I spend my time listening to Lucy talk to Clayton, his deep voice rumbling against me when he answers, but I don't say much, not when all I can think about is what will happen later when Clayton and I talk. I should have told him. He's right. I make light of it because if I don't, I'll break down in tears, thinking that someone might have intentionally set that fire, and I don't want to ruin this evening. Tonight is something I've been looking forward to, not just because it'll be another milestone I reach. Ever since John, I haven't dated. Clayton's the first man I've wanted anything more from. Not only that, but it'll be my first date with someone who isn't a teenage boy. Well, my first planned date after the unexpected first one. And now, like it or not, I get to start it by telling him I'm homeless, technically jobless, and one hot mess. Clayton's body shifts, his hard thigh brushing against my leg, pushing the skirt of my knee-length dress up my thigh a little. I shove it down quickly and smooth it out, but freeze when I see his free hand reach down to adjust his crotch. Glancing up, I see his eyes trained on my legs, and a rush of excitement bursts through my body. I might not completely understand how someone like Clayton Davis could be into plain Caroline Michaels, but seeing him affected by something as simple as the 6 inches of skin above my knee does something to me. I feel empowered by his reaction. Maybe this is what normal people do when they're exploring things. This push and pull of powerful lust is exchanged between them, but I have never in my life experienced it. Wanting to feel that rush again, I wiggle my bottom and curl my hands into the fabric of my dress, pulling it up a little. He stops talking the second I tug the hem higher, then he clears his throat and continues. I look back at his lap, disappointed that he didn't touch himself again, but no less determined. My hand doesn't even shake when I release my skirt and place it on his thigh. As my fingers inch closer to the bulge in his jeans, I don't feel a bit of shyness. The sense of freedom its absence inspires is overwhelming, and I feel a rush of lust. I keep watching my hand as it creeps closer to the hardness pushing his denim up and almost come out of my skin when his hand drops on top of mine and yanks it to that very spot, his hips flexing as he grinds against my palm. Oh, wow. I press my thighs together and close my eyes. Memories of him moving just like that inside of me become overwhelming. "What are you doing?" Lucy questions, the sound of her voice shocking me like a bucket of cold water over my head. I rip my hand from his hold, missing the hard heat against my palm instantly, and fiddle with my skirt before looking up at her. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed when she winks at me. No, I feel like I am on top of the world, even if my best friend did just witness me rubbing my kinda boyfriend's crotch shamelessly. "You ready?" I ask Clayton, smiling at Lucy while I do so she knows I'm not ignoring the question she doesn't really need an answer to.
"Yeah, Lenny, I'm more than ready."
It's been so long since I haven't been afraid that I promise myself, right there as we shuffle out of the booth with greasy food scenting the air, that I'm going to give this little adventure everything I have and trust whatever is in store for us, good or bad. Because I have a feeling there isn't anything better in the world than being cared for by this man next to me. 11. Caroline. Think a Little Less by Michael Ray. "You'll text me later?" Lucy asks while hugging me goodbye outside the diner. "Maybe tomorrow morning, Luce." She shuffles her feet a little and makes a low noise of excitement in my ear. When she pulls away, she looks ready to burst with excitement, making me laugh softly.
"Because it will be late, Lucy Hazel, not because I'll still be with Clayton," I whisper, hoping the man waiting just behind me doesn't hear, which, of course, he does, because that's how lucky I am.
"Try tomorrow afternoon, Lucy, and it will definitely be because she's still with me,"
he corrects, and I jerk around to gawk at him. Clayton, I gasp.
Linny, we both know you aren't going anywhere but to my bed tonight.
But, I start, but close my mouth when I realize I really don't have an argument to offer. Turning back to Lucy, I shrug. So I'll talk to you at some unknown hour tomorrow, okay? She snorts and gives me a blinding smile before taking off to her car with a wave. I watch her get in and pull away before I turn to the man at my back. He's leaning against his truck with confidence. When I take a step toward him, he straightens but doesn't move aside from that, letting me set the pace. Still riding the high from inside the diner, I step toward him and wrap my arms around his middle and press my cheek to his chest, hugging him tight and smiling so big it hurts my face. His strong arms fold around me and his chin rests against the top of my head. I'm just about to tell him how much I like feeling him against me, but when I start, my eyes light on the last person I ever thought I'd see again, staring at us across the street, and the words die on my lips. I know Clayton notices the change in me because I jerk in his hold, but shockingly, the fear overseeing my old boyfriend doesn't last but a second, not with Clayton holding me safe.
You all right, darling?
He rumbles against my cheek, not letting me go. I clear my throat, pull my eyes from the man across the street, and look up at Clayton with a smile. I will be. I can tell he wants to press, but for whatever reason, he keeps his silence before kissing my forehead. He then opens the truck door for me, and I climb in. I watch as he shuts the door and quickly scans the area around us. I don't look, not wanting to know if I really saw a blast from my past, but judging by the harsh lines that appear on Clayton's face, I don't think John was only a figment of my imagination. The second he climbs into the driver's seat and jerks the truck into reverse, I know he saw John. The drive from the diner to Davis Ranch isn't a terribly long one, but with the tension between us getting thicker, it feels like it's cross-country. The ride only makes me more uneasy, aware that I need to tell him about my past sooner than I wanted. I need to trust what's growing between us, that the strong connection we felt from day one is worth taking a chance on. I need to start opening up. That was my ex, I whisper to the window, watching the pastures full of cattle pass by. He lets out a rush of air, and I feel the energy around us get even thicker with tension. I was with him for a long time, Clayton. I speak slowly. It wasn't good.
When?
I finally look over at him, confused by his one-word question. When what?
When did he become your ex?
A few years ago, give or take some. I know exactly how long it's been. How long I've been afraid because of what he did to me in using my fear against me to make my normal, timid nature so much worse. Call me a coward, but I'm not going to go into the depressingly long length of time that it's been since I've been able to get to this place, to move on, if I don't have to. His hands tighten on the wheel, and a muscle jumps in his jaw, but he doesn't talk, and I have a feeling there's something more here, something I'm missing. John, I start, but stop immediately when Clayton starts cursing a violent streak, his nostrils puffing out like those of an enraged bull. Not wanting to be the reason he's mad, I slouch in my seat, unsure if I should continue. His hand leaves the wheel and reaches for mine, taking it in a firm grip and not letting go.
Finish what you want to tell me, Linny. It's not you I'm pissed at.
You know him well? A strangled laugh comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, I know John fucking Lewis pretty damn well.
I don't have a good past where he's concerned. Are you sure you want to hear this? He pulls into the ranch's driveway, not answering me until we've parked close to the front of his beautiful home. He cuts the engine, gets out, and walks around the truck's hood to open my door. He unbuckles my seatbelt and turns me with a gentle grip on my knees before opening my legs and stepping between them, dragging his palms up my thighs to rest under my skirt. I have to push the fog his touch puts in my mind away to focus, because only then does he speak.
I know him. Know him well enough to have a pretty good idea of what you're going to tell me. I don't like it, But that isn't for you to worry about, darling. I don't want you ever feeling like you need to keep something from me because I won't like hearing it. He's the ugly you talked about?
I nod, my chin wobbling and drawing his attention immediately. His fingers tense, but he keeps going.
I know you didn't want to talk about this yet. You promised to give it to me when we got serious. But, darling, I don't need more dates to tell you I'm already there. I'm not going anywhere because of the shit you went through in your life. No matter what you have to say to me, we're still gonna be exploring us. I don't want to push you when you aren't ready, but Lenny, there isn't a thing I wouldn't do to keep you in my life.
God, this man. How is it possible that we've only just started when I feel like my soul was made for his? I shift to get closer and drop my forehead to his chest, feeling his strong heartbeat. His thumbs rub my thighs, soothing and reassuring me. Trust him. The thought rushes through my mind, and I suck in a breath, lift my head, and give him my ugly. I left Pine Oak when I was 18. I spent 4 months before that with John, wondering what he saw in me, but not ready to question it and lose him. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't perfect, but he made me feel important and gave me hope that I could have something different from the life I was facing if I stuck around under my mama's control. So when he promised to get me out of my mama's house and a whole bunch of other things that he just knew he could give me once we got to Austin, I believed him. I believed all of him. I know now that I naively gave him my blind trust because I felt like he was the only way out. I inhale and hold the deep breath in my belly for a pause before blowing it out slowly. It wasn't all bad. I met Lucy and Luke because of it. I also lost a lot of me in the process, though. A lot of me that I didn't find again for almost 6 years. He drank excessively, yelled more often than not, and, toward the end, used his fists. Clayton's quiet, but I can see my words are costing him. I give him a look, asking silently if he wants me to keep going. At his nod, I do. He got mad about some beer one night and sent me out to get it. Long story short, I got into a pretty bad wreck on the way back. A drunk driver slammed into me and I spent a few months recovering. But it was because of that accident that I was finally able to get away from him. I spent a week in the hospital before Lucy and Luke picked me up. I knew I had my chance, and we had it all planned out. They were taking me to their place to finish my recovery, and Luke got all my stuff back. It wasn't until a few weeks after moving in with them that I realized just how good my chances of making a clean break were. The man who hit me worked for some big auto chain, and his company wanted to settle out of court. The settlement money was enough for me to come back here and open the sequel, and I lived in the apartment above it for 5 years. Until the fire.
You haven't dated since?
No. I haven't felt safe until... you. I don't think you'd hurt me, if that's what you're thinking. Not like him.
Fuck me.
He breathes, his forehead dropping to mine.
I don't deserve someone as sweet as you, Lenny. I really don't. But that's not gonna stop me from keeping you. Words are weak, darling. It's actions that mean something when it comes to a man's character. I promise I won't ever lay a hand on you. My temper can burn bright, sweetness, but never do you need to fear me causing you harm like that. We might fight, talk to each other with heat, but I'll never hurt you. Fuck, Caroline,
he says, his hands framing my face with such gentle reverence I gasp.
How anyone could harm a hair on your head, I'll never understand.
I know you wouldn't hurt me. I saw that in you from day one. Why did you look so mad back at the diner? He looks away, his hands going back to my legs, but this time on the outside of my skirt. Clayton? I probe when he doesn't answer.
I'm gonna ask that you trust me now, sweetness. Trust that it's nothing you need to be concerning yourself with. Me wanting to protect you will always be limitless in its reach.
You're asking me to give you something I've only given to 2 people.
I'll never make you regret trusting me.
I search his eyes, but see nothing except sincerity. He has no idea how much power he's asking me to give him. but my dark cowboy won't twist my trust into something ugly. He's a good man, always kind to others, humble in his pride, fierce with control, and worthy of respect. My heart feels the safety within his promise. My mind recognizes our connection without doubts. It's time to drop the rest of the weights that hold me captive. My breathing is rapid, but I feel sure about my decision. I lift my hands and press them against his chest. He closes his eyes on an exhale when I drag them up to wrap around his neck. When those emerald orbs finally lock back on me, I press against him and bring him close enough for me to press my lips against his. His fingers dig into my flesh the second my mouth opens, and I lick the seam of his lips, a groan coming from deep inside of him rumbling around us. When our tongues slide against each other, he pushes his hands under my skirt again and goes straight to my hips. With one strong pull, he's got his hips flush with mine, and the thickness of him presses tightly against my sex. I whine, wiggle, and pray that he gives me some friction. Our kiss changes when he starts to smile against my mouth. If anyone were to see us, toothy grins pressed together, I can only imagine how insane we'd look. For the first time in my life, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm just happy this man makes me feel safe, shows me how to be bad, and breathes new life back into me with every small step of us exploring. If this is how strong we are after such a short time, I can hardly wait to see what comes next.
12. Clayton. More Girls Like You by Kip Moore. You look good. Haven't seen you without that ugly-ass serious mask on in a long time. I look away from Midnight, one of the best stallions on my ranch, and raise my brow at my brother. I just finished riding the property, letting Midnight go all out and take complete control of our ride. I forgot how fast the old horse could go when he wanted to show off. What the hell are you talking about? I ask Mav, after giving my horse one last brush. You've got the girls going nuts, I swear to Christ. You're going to put one of them in labor the way they're acting like you dating is the most exciting thing going on in their lives. They keep freaking out that you're going to get spooked and ruin it. You're fucking kidding me right now with that shit? He grunts and shakes his head. Just repeating what they keep yammering about. Figured you should know that your love life is going to make you an uncle sooner than you reckon. I flip him off before guiding Midnight back into his stall. I do a quick check of the feeds to make sure everyone did their work today. Not that I need to worry about how things are run here. I've been stepping back more, and it's been refreshing. I trust my staff here implicitly, and by doing so, I free up more time to be with Caroline. I never thought there'd be anything in this world that would have me wanting to spend less time on the ranch. But 3 weeks with her, and I'm finding my happiness is directly connected to her and no longer to the ranch. She brings out a protective side to me that has only ever been shown to my siblings and the ranch. We spend as much time together as our complicated schedules allow, but it's never enough. For the first time in my life, I wish I had some sort of normal career where I could take her on the kind of dates she deserves instead of us dating here at the ranch for dinners, movies, and just generally spending as much time together as possible. I've been getting her in my bed most nights. Something I did the second I found out she was staying at the fucking motel in Lawbone. In the past few weeks, she's only spent a handful of nights there, and each of those nights I spent unable to sleep, worrying about her. Between my responsibilities here on the ranch and her helping out at Hazel's, we get little time even for our unconventional ranch-bound dates. "Heard you ran into Jess the other day," he says, twisting his Stetson between his hands. "Don't remind me. Also heard she's been running her mouth about y'all being back together." I stop in my tracks and look over at Maverick. He places his hat on his head and walks over to stand next to me. "You're gonna want to get on top of that shit. That woman was evil when you were fucking her, but you and I both know she's not ready to believe it's over forever, regardless of how much time has passed." We walk in silence toward the house, his words weighing heavy in my gut. "Does Caroline know about Jess?" he finally asks. "Yeah. Told her that night of the baby shower when she had dinner here the first time." He mulls over my words while straddling his ride home, not starting it up yet. The girls know about Jess trying to get back with you. They know she's cornered you once and tried a few more times unsuccessfully. They're worried about you dealing with that as a brother, but they're worried about what could happen to Caroline if Jess manages to tear you all apart. You've got my wife and our sister acting like worried hens, and it's starting to piss me off. I clamp my teeth together as my breathing speeds up. Don't like hearing that, do you? He turns the key on the four-wheeler, shattering the silence. You should probably let her know that your ex is sniffing around again before she thinks you're keeping it from her for some reason other than protecting her feelings. There won't be anything good that comes from her finding that out from someone else. With that, he hauls his ass back to his own house. I never regretted selling him back Leighton's family land when they got together. I didn't need it, the Davis Ranch being as huge as it is. But it's times like these, when he takes advantage of being so fucking close by coming by to stick his nose into my life, that I question the sanity of my choice. Even the 500 acres of our combined land don't provide enough distance when he gets a hankering to start handing out advice. It's been a long-as-fuck week for Caroline now that the rebuild is underway on the sequel, and the last thing I want is to bring this shit up tonight. But I know Maverick's right. I'm not blind to why Jess started this bullshit again. She's always made it clear she wants to get back together, and it's my fault for not being more definite in my refusals. Now that she knows I'm seeing someone, it's worse than ever. And seeing how Caroline's mama, Jess's boss at the salon, was with her the last time she tried coming on to me, it won't be long until it gets back to my girl. And the last thing I want is her thinking that I was keeping that from her. Fuck. I pull my phone out of my back pocket and pull up the last text she sent me. She stayed at the motel last night, not wanting to drive in the storm we had roll through after leaving Hazel's. I didn't sleep for shit, and my mood has been terrible. But when her text pinged through early this morning, I almost came in my pants. All day I've been dealing with the promise built off that message, and I finished my work twice as fast as normal. Her small, perfect tits fill the screen of my phone, and I groan when my cock throbs. We've been playing this game for a week now, teasing each other every chance we get, but never going further than heated kisses and feeling each other up like two horny teenagers. I've been craving her body since I last took it close to 3 months ago, and that need has only gotten worse since we've gotten together. When she sent me her first sexy text, I almost died. But when she sent me the first naked picture of her body, I was pretty sure I actually had. There is something hot as fuck seeing my shy and timid Linny opening up to me like this, giving me something that I know she's never given any other man. And now it's likely going to be even longer before we get down to business again. I don't see her wanting to ride my cock after I tell her my ex-girlfriend grabbed my crotch in the middle of town yesterday. Regretfully, I close out the picture of Caroline's naked chest and stomp through my house to shower. Thoughts of my good girl being bad make my jeans get painfully tight around my erection. 10 minutes later, I've just started palming my cock when I feel it. That zap of energy that sparks from top to toe when Caroline is near. We could be back in that pitch-black motel room and I would know exactly where she is. I keep stroking myself, waiting to see what my good girl is up to. When I hear the curtain move, the rungs gliding almost silently against the pole, I smile to myself and release my cock, letting my hand join the other one pressed against the tile, letting the hot water roll down my neck and body. My ears strain to listen in an effort to try and figure out her next move, but it never comes. I'm half convinced I was imagining her, but I can still feel the hum of awareness on my skin, so I wait. Then, from my position leaning forward against the tile, I see the very tips of her purple-painted toes in the space between my braced feet. Jesus fuck. She's been less and less shy with me over the past few weeks, but never this forward. We have dinner together as often as we can, always ending up on the couch. But it's been me who'd make the first move to pull her into my lap and kiss her until we were both wound the hell up. I've been waiting for her to let me know she's ready for more. Something I told her a week after finding out about her punk of an ex. I wanted her to make sure she was ready, because the next time I get my cock in her tight pussy, I won't ever let her go. I know you're there, darling, I admit, and my smile grows when she screams and those tiny feet jump back. Dang it, Clayton, she gasps breathlessly. I push off the side of the shower and turn, expecting to find her covering as much of her body as she can. But when I finally see her, I almost swallow my tongue. My cock jerks and my smile drops with my jaw. There she stands, every inch on display. I don't know where to look first. Her hands are on her hips, long, tanned legs are spread apart, and her fiery temper is on display, all while her pussy is bare and begging for my tongue. I can't eat apple pie anymore because of that sweet pussy. Licking my lips, I move my gaze up over her flat stomach and right to her tits, perfect little handfuls of flesh that heave with her heavy breaths, her rosy nipples hard from my attention. By the time I force my eyes off her chest, any annoyance she felt at getting caught sneaking up on me is gone. My girl wants to be bad, and she isn't afraid to show me. Her lightly tanned skin is flushed red with arousal, her eyelids growing heavy as the same need I feel takes her over. "You trying to sneak up on me, Lenny?" She bites her lip and nods. "Are you sure you want to take this step? I told you, once you give me this gift again, I'm not going to give it back. We're going to stop exploring and start planning a future." "I know," she whispers, stepping a little closer. "Baby." I draw the word out lazily, taking my own step forward when her eyes close at my endearment. "Caroline, I mean what I say. We've been going slow for almost a month, darling. You ready to admit what's happening here?" Her eyes open, and there isn't a lick of doubt in those beauties. "We were going to happen the second you tried to kill me with your horse." I grab her as her giggles echo around us and pull her naked body into my arms. "Sweetness, we were going to happen the second you sat your ass down on a bar stool and told me you were a good girl."
"Hey, I am a good girl."
Her tiny hands hit my shoulders, and I close mine around her hips and lift her effortlessly off her feet. Her legs wrap around my back, and I feel her lock her feet above my ass. My cock, having no trouble letting her know he wants to say hello, settles in the middle of her sex. Her back hits the shower wall, and I flex my hips, dragging my thickness through the hug of her wet lips, their dampness having nothing to do with the shower. "Yeah," I breathe, needing to be inside her more than I need air. "I know you are, darling." She leans forward and starts peppering kisses all over my chest and up my neck. My hips rock steadily as my cock slowly glides through her wetness. I need to be inside of her, but not until I hear what I need to hear. "Tell me, Caroline." Her kisses stop, mouth on my jaw. When she looks up at me, I don't miss the meaning in her eyes. It tells me she's just as lost in me as I am in her. The shyness that I normally see is nowhere to be found.
"I'm ready to be yours," she says with confidence and hunger. "Please, Clayton, make me yours."
All rational thought vanishes as I take her mouth in a bruising kiss. I press her against the tile with my hips so that my hands are free to roam that gorgeous body. Her legs tighten and her mouth gets greedy. When I palm her tits, the small weight of them perfect in my large hands, she moans into my mouth and starts to rut against my length. I can feel the wetness of her arousal coating my cock, and I start moving with her until we're frantic for more. It isn't until I lift back and enter her with one long thrust that I realize why she feels so fucking good. "Condom," I breathe heavily.
"Pill,"
she answers, her head falling against the wall with a thump as she starts to roll her hips. With a deep breath, I realize just how much trust I have in her, no doubt filtering in whatsoever at her assurances of using birth control. My eyes cross. "Goddamn, Lenny, you keep moving like that, and I'm not gonna last." She hums, but picks up speed. "You want me to move, baby? You want to be bad with me?"
"Please," she whines. "You're so deep. I'm so full."
I bite her collarbone and pull my hips back so just the tip of my cock is kissing her entrance. She makes a low sound of protest as she digs her nails into my shoulders, her eyes pleading. "You want me to fuck you hard or love you slow?"
"Hard first, slow later."
Her feet tighten on top of my ass, trying to get me back inside of her.
"Clayton,"
she begs. I lean forward, nose to hers, and smile wickedly at her. "Tell me to fuck your pussy then, darling. Give me the words."
Her brown eyes go wide, but she doesn't stop trying to push me back in. She wants to say it, but that little bit of shyness left when she's with me holds her back. So I give her a teasing, shallow thrust and arch my brow. Her chest heaves and those nails bite in again. Fuck me, honey. Fuck me hard. Motherfucker, I gasp. Hearing her say those words sends shock shooting right through me. Then I fuck my girl until my ears are ringing from her screams, and I've drained almost 3 months of frustration and want into her tight body. We don't get out of the shower until I wash every inch of her, and she returns the favor. I came so hard I'm sucked dry. My cock shouldn't be hard this soon, but I already want her again. Hell, I wanted her again as I was groaning out my release. But I know that before I allow myself to take her again, I need to get our talk over with. I'm not sure what she'll do when I tell her my nasty ex is sniffing around, but I'm not going to take her again while the shadow of Jess is hanging around me. I hope like fuck that after I tell her, she'll still want me to love her slow like I promised. Let's get in my bed so I can feel you in my arms, Lenny. She glances up from drying off her legs and frowns. Why does your voice sound like that? Like what? Like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. She stands and regards me before her eyes open wide and her jaw drops. Oh my God, am I bad? Was it not good? I sigh and point to my cock, my still hard cock. Darling, my body is already begging to get back in you, and I don't think it can be missed that I almost fucked you through my shower wall. So I'm not bad then? Having had enough of this space between us, I grab her gently by her shoulders and pull her to my body. My cock jumps the second her soft belly presses against it. I've never felt anything better than what I get when you give me you. Her whole body goes soft, and she smiles up at me. Her hands on my chest start to roll across my skin until she's looping them around my neck. Then what's on your mind, Clayton? I need to tell you something that happened, and I would rather do it with you naked in my bed so I can keep my word to love you soft after. A small worry wrinkle forms on the skin between her brows, but with a deep breath she nods and lets me lead us to my bed. She climbs in first, sitting on her knees and watching me as I drop the towel I had knotted at my hips. Not once does she hide her naked body, and I know that means she's more worried than she lets on. Come here, Lenny, I request softly once my back hits the headboard. Her eyes go from my face, down my body, and up again before that worry between her brow grows. She sucks in a wobbly breath, but scoots forward. I take her face gently between both hands. What's going through your mind? I question her. You've got me worried. My thumbs rub against her soft cheeks before I lean in and press a soft kiss to her lips. I'm sorry, darling. I don't want you worried. I just didn't want to put off talking. Her tiny hands shake as they move from my shoulders to my neck, one on each side as she studies me. Is this about John? Fucking John. I should have assumed he'd be her first thought, seeing as she hasn't brought him up since I asked her to trust me when it comes to that douchebag. No, I haven't seen him since that afternoon in Wire Creek. Oh. You've been worried about him? She shakes her head. Not really. He hasn't called in a while, and I think he got the picture that we're together, so I don't expect him to now. What do you mean he hasn't called in a while? Jesus Christ. I didn't even think to ask if he's been in contact with her since they split up. She shrugs. He called a few times after we were done, but stopped for a few years. He called me more recently, but the last time was the night I met you. You'd tell me if he did, right? Her head moves in my grasp as she nods. I would, but he won't since I changed my number the next day. Somewhat pacified, I drop the subject. What's going on, honey? She asks with concern when I don't say anything. You know my ex? The one who tried to trick you into more? Yeah, that one. I shift my hands, wrapping my arms around her body to pull her closer, needing to feel more of her skin against mine. Her hold on my neck slips for a second before she adjusts her arms and her fingers press into my hair. I've run into her a few times since we started this thing, but other than running her mouth, she hasn't done more until 2 days ago.
When I saw her, she cornered me, and before I could get her to move, she grabbed me in a way only you should be grabbing me.
Where? Caroline asks, her eyes no longer worried now that they're burning with rage.
It didn't last long, but I know people saw before I could stop it, and I didn't want you to hear it from someone else.
Where did she touch you, Clayton?
She asks again.
Fuck, I breathe, dropping my head against the wooden frame.
She touched this part of you in the middle of town? I nod, clenching my jaw when she stops moving, and I lose the sensation of her wetness caressing my body.
And what did you do when she touched what isn't hers anymore, when she touched what's mine?
I look back at her, shocked by the brazen words, still expecting to see her anger, but there isn't any to be found. Her eyes are dancing, but no longer spitting fire. Curiosity, maybe, but her trust in me is clear as she waits for me to explain. I grabbed her wrist and told her never to do that shit again, but whether she actually heeds that is another story. Caroline nods, lifting one hand to run through my hair as she studies me. She repeats the process again as the silence ticks on before leaning forward and pressing her lips to mine in a quick kiss.
Does she know you're seeing someone?
I nod, my grip tightening just a hair, her body pressing more firmly against mine. I told her, and seeing as I said I was building the future I hadn't wanted with her, with you, I'm thinking she got the point. I made sure she knew that not only do I dislike her disrespect in the woman I'm building a life with, she doesn't have a chance of making that life with me. Her eyes, which were locked on my lips while I spoke, jumped to mine.
What?
What part, darling?
I'm not sure, she gasps.
Caroline, I murmur with a smile. Well, she starts, scooting her bottom closer and rubbing against me, smiling when I groan.
I'm not happy that happened, but I think I like knowing you said all that to her.
She doesn't deserve your kindness after what happened, even if it makes me a bitch to say so.
I mean, I understand if you told her that to get her off your back and all. We haven't really put titles on us or anything, I mean.
Is that what was bothering you? That I might think you wanted for us what she hoped to get from you before you all broke up?
I think it bothers me more that you think I wouldn't want that.
She deflates in my hold, just a tiny bit.
You were clear when we talked about it, how you felt about marriage.
Even if we were at that point where we'd be talking about it, I know where you stand.
Stood, Lenny. I'm not standing there anymore.
What? She breathes. I smile, leaning my face closer, and take her mouth in a deep kiss. She grabs a hold of my hair, pulling slightly, and sighs into my mouth. I kiss her slow, moving my tongue against hers in lazy glides. Her hips start moving against mine in a dance of pure torture. Each time she presses forward, I thrust up off the bed, and it doesn't take much of that for us to become too breathless to continue kissing. One of these days, I tell her as I roll her onto her back, I'm gonna have a talk with you about our future. My hips lift, and I reach between us to guide my cock into her body. And darling, I'm gonna have one hell of a different way of explaining my thoughts for our future than I did back then. Until that time comes, you just let me love you slow and fuck you bad.
13. Caroline. Close by Ryan Kinder. The second he starts moving inside of me, I know this is different from any other time. Our night at the motel had been fueled by lust and the mystery the darkness created. It had been frantic, both of us knowing we only had that night. Earlier in the shower, it was just as rushed, but driven by the need, our tantalizing past few weeks. This, though, this is a profound kind of coupling. With every slow thrust, I can feel the words he knows I'm not ready to hear, but as I look up into his clear eyes, I hope he can see what I'm not ready to say. I'm quickly becoming dependent on what's building between us, and after hearing what he just said, I know I'm not alone. I could go the rest of my life with nothing more than what he's giving me now, as long as I continue to feel wholly and completely adored by him. I might not have tons of experience with relationships, but I do know what we share is special. He hits a spot deep inside me, and I push my head back on a moan. With each lazy thrust into my body, I feel him battering down the remnants of the walls I've put up. With each precious kiss, he promises me a future without hurt. When he looks deep into my eyes and plunges into me, I clamp down and come so hard it steals my breath. And when he starts picking up speed, taking me harder, I drag my nails down his back and feel my orgasm bleed into a second. With my moans echoing his cum shoots into my body, and I know I'm going to give him every bit of myself until he has it all. I close my eyes with a smile, my legs falling from their tight hold on his hips, and rub his back lazily.
You hungry?
He questions when my stomach's grumbling breaks the afterglow. I hum my answer, but don't move to actually do something about it and let him go. We both groan as he slips free.
Come on. Let me feed you, darling.
He jokes with a smile when my stomach continues talking. He tosses me one of his shirts with a handsome smirk, watching me closely as I cover up. I can only imagine the blush covering my body under his watchful gaze, but it isn't from feeling shy. When he groans a complaint over losing the sight of my naked body, I feel the heat of arousal and pride knowing I can make a man as perfect as Clayton Davis come undone like that. I push my hair out of my face and smile up at him. He says something under his breath about never letting me wear clothes again before pulling his jeans over his own nakedness. He has to tuck his still hard length down before zipping them up, leaving the button undone. That can't feel good, I muse, pointing out the impression of his erection clear through the worn denim.
It's not, but if I don't get us both fed, I won't have the energy to do anything about it later.
You sound like I'm a sure thing, I joke.
Praying you are, darling. I'd live in that sweet pussy if I could.
I gasp, swatting his abs. He only smiles bigger and pulls me to my feet, kissing me hard. When we finally manage to leave his bedroom and get some food, it's almost 9 at night. I have no idea how 2 hours passed so quickly, but I shouldn't be surprised by his stamina. I know from our first night together, he can go until I pass out from his lovemaking. I think I'm going to sell when the rebuild is finished, I tell him after taking the last bite of my sandwich. He doesn't look away, frowning slightly. I've been thinking about it a lot these past few weeks, and, well, I don't really want to be living 45 minutes away anymore. I used to think being that far from Pine Oak was a good thing, but now, not so much. His face gets soft when my explanation sinks in.
What are you thinking?
The building next to the hardware store is opening up. The lady who owned it doesn't want to deal with the trouble of owning a business now that she's getting older. So I was considering opening back up there.
Ms. Jordan's? The florist?
Yeah, I answer quietly, looking at my plate, knowing he's likely thinking the same thing I did when I found out that was the only place in town available for rent.
Darlin', that's right next to your mama's salon.
I know.
Not that I don't think you could handle it, but Caroline, that woman being that close to you makes me feel a whole lot of unease.
I nod, looking away from the intensity in his gaze and pushing some of the chips left on my plate around with my fingertip.
I love the idea of you being closer, darling, especially if that means you're going to be doing it sooner than later. But I'd be lying if I said I was okay with putting you that near to her.
There's nowhere else, Clayton. I've looked. I wanted to know all my options before I brought it up to you. I want to come home, not just because of us, but because I don't feel safe in Wire Creek, either. Being here, well, I don't need to constantly worry. He frowns.
I thought they ruled the fire an accident.
According to the report, but I'm not sure. He steps around the island and pulls me into his arms.
Why do you think it wasn't an accident, Caroline?
I can see the concern written all over his face and in the tense set of his shoulders. I think someone's been tampering with things. Materials are going missing, and yesterday Joe, the contractor, told me some of the electrical he had finished was pulled out. How would that even happen?
I'm not sure,
he says thickly. We only passed inspection because Joe worked through the night to fix the issue, but something in my gut is telling me I shouldn't go back there. I wanted to talk to you before I put a for sale sign in the window and start looking for somewhere else to open up again. Whether that's here in Pine Oak or maybe in Lawbone, either way, I don't want it to be in Wire Creek anymore.
Don't buy the Jordans' old place. It might look like the only option now, but having you that close to your mama isn't gonna happen.
I'm going to have to look at Lawbone then, and the only thing I found there was clear on the other side of town. Not that I'm looking for a new space based on the distance to your place, but... I stop when he flashes me a wide, toothy smile. What?
Lenny, I think we need to start basing your search off how far it is from the ranch, so don't get embarrassed when you say it because, darling, I agree.
Now that I'm going to sell Clayton, I need to find somewhere to live that isn't a motel. I can't use the ranch as my base when I might find something to rent that's on the other side of you, but close to a potential space for the store. He throws his head back and laughs.
How many nights have you been at that shitty motel, darling?
I shrug. It's been 2 months since the fire, and I started staying there not long after that. I don't know exactly how long, though.
Let me rephrase that. How many nights since we started exploring us have you actually stayed there?
That's different, Clayton. We haven't exactly had tons of time to get together between me being busy during the day, either sleeping or monitoring the build, and you've got a busy schedule of your own here. By the time I get a few hours in at Hazel's and get here, it's been so late I either fall asleep or you insist I stay. He steps closer, smiling down at me with the most open expression of affection.
Darling, it might have started out that way, but I haven't wanted you anywhere else for weeks than in my bed. You want to make up one of the guest rooms as yours? Do it. But I think it's time we both admit this is your home.
Clayton, I breathe, not knowing how to respond to him.
I've got an idea about the store, but I need to check some things out before I get your hopes up. Until then, get the place in Wire Creek on the market, check out of that goddamned hotel for good, and get your sexy ass where it belongs.
It's too soon, I weakly argue.
Then put your clothes in one of the guest rooms instead of mine.
But, I start, only to stop speaking when his hand covers my mouth.
I wouldn't be saying it if I wasn't sure, Caroline. You don't need to be in that motel. You didn't want to stay with Luke and Lucy, and I think we both know that under this roof is where you belong.
Okay, I agree, not letting myself look for reasons to keep arguing against this.
Okay.
He parrots with a grin that makes my heart pick up speed. If you change your mind, though...
No way in hell that's gonna happen, sweetness.
This is insane. His chest rumbles as he laughs low and deep.
I think we're pretty good at doing things with a little insanity, darling. That's half the run of our ride together. I never know what's coming next, and I'm not finding it a bad thing to give up control if I've got you with me doing so.
There aren't any more words after that as his mouth takes mine in a doozy of a kiss. By the time he has me passing out from exhaustion, there isn't a single concern on my shoulders anymore, and I go to sleep with a smile on my face, all because of the man who is slowly becoming my everything. 14. Caroline. Happy People by Little Big Town. Let me get this straight, Quinn says, folding another baby blanket and placing it on Leighton's coffee table. Clay, my allergic to anything resembling commitment brother, is not only in a super committed relationship, but also living in sin with his girlfriend? Leighton snorts, throwing some tiny yellow baby socks at her best friend's head. You make it sound so scandalous, Q. And you aren't shocked? Well, no, not really. Lee answers, looking down at her lap, but not before I see the smirk on her face. It's only been 2 months, she exclaims. So what? I stop petting Leighton's giant cat Earl and chime in. We've technically known each other our whole lives. I had a crush on him before I started dating John. I guess it's just our time now. At my words, they both look over at me with jaws wide open. You had a crush on him back in high school? Lee questions with a smile. You hussy, Quinn laughs. He's 6 years older than you. What? I blush. He's the most handsome man I've ever known. That's so sweet, Lee sighs dreamily, wiping her eyes as they fill with tears. I gape at her in shock when she starts crying harder. Hoping to find some sort of help from Quinn, I'm utterly flustered when I see her crying as well. I hedge.
What the fuck is going on?
A voice thunders behind me. At the sound of her husband, Leighton waves him off and sniffles loudly. Stop growling, cowboy. Did you hear? Quinn cries toward her brother.
Hear what?
Caroline moved into the ranch house. Maverick stops in his path and turns slowly to assess me. I haven't gotten very close to the middle Davis child, but I also haven't spent tons of time around him since Clayton and I started dating. The few interactions we had were brief, and he studied every move his brother made with me. What I hadn't gotten in the months since Clayton and I started dating was his younger brother smiling freely in my direction. It's so shocking, I can't do anything but stare at him.
Well, I'll be,
he finally says, his grin growing even wider.
I bet that bitch Jess isn't too happy about this news.
I shake my head. What's that mean? Quinn questions, sniffling loudly.
Just what I said, Hellraiser.
Why would what Jess thinks even be relevant right now?
You must not have been hearing the gossip flying around town. I know Lee told you about it because she said you were going on and on about how nasty Jess is.
Quinn looks at Maverick like he's grown a second head. She mentioned Jess was sniffing around Clay, not details. I've been stuck at home on bed rest for a whole week, asshole. How am I going to get the good gossip when I can't even waddle my ass into town? Leighton laughs, finally dry-eyed. I forgot to tell you what I heard when I was at the pie hole last week. Sorry, Q. I got distracted when you started talking about your cervix and everything. Quinn's eyes go from Leighton's to her brother's, over to mine, then back to Leighton's when no one goes to explain further. Well? Dee, don't just sit there. Give me the goods. I sigh, but don't say anything. It really isn't a big deal. His ex put her hands on him in the middle of the day, smack dab in the center of town. Jana told me that he grabbed her hand off his crotch the second he realized, a second too late, I should add, that she was going to touch him there. She didn't hear what he said, but rumor has it that it was something about her being a used-up slut that he wouldn't touch with a 10-foot-long cattle prod, even if he wasn't madly in love. I think you're embellishing it just a little, Lee, I add, rolling my eyes to hide the fact that my stomach is going nuts at the mention of love.
She isn't far from the truth,
Maverick says, sitting down next to his wife and rubbing her stomach. She looks at him and smiles before placing her hand on top of his. How is that woman still even sniffing around? They've been broken up for years, and I know he isn't stupid enough to have gone back even for a quickie, seeing as she's been with half the town. Lee hums in agreement when Quinn stops talking. Did he ever say why they split in the first place? They look at Maverick first, but he doesn't glance away from his wife's belly, ignoring them completely. I stammer. I love you two and all, but if you haven't heard it from him before now, you aren't going to hear it from me. I might have gotten back the friendship that was broken when I left town after high school, but my loyalty will always be to Clayton now. I ignore the annoyed glances they both shoot me and meet Maverick's gaze. I'm not sure what I expected, but a wink followed by a low chuckle damn sure wasn't it. You know, his wife snaps accusingly, you hadn't even come back to Pine Oak when he was dating her.
Didn't have to live in Pine Oak to talk to my brother, darling.
Well? Quinn probes, looking at her brother.
Yeah, right, Quinny. And don't y'all be giving this girl any shit for being faithful to her man. If Clay wanted y'all to know his personal shit, he'd tell you. You both know damn well you wouldn't say a thing if the roles were reversed, so give her the respect of doing the same.
They stay mute as he leans down to kiss Leighton's belly before pressing another kiss to her lips. After rising from his seat, he walks by his sister and pats her head. Leaving the room, he shuts the back door softly. The girls share a look, then glance at me in shock.
I think, Quinn breathes,